This is WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
Good morning to you from WGNS. Our guest today is Dr. Craig McCabe, local eye doctor, and he is joining us by way of phone this morning. Dr. McCabe, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm just walking up the stairs here. How are you doing?
I am doing good. This is kind of like one of those David Letterman type shows, you know, where it shows the guest outside on the front sidewalk coming in, and then he makes his way into the studio just live on the air, and that's what's happening right now.
Yeah, except you can't really show it on radio.
It's the feel of it.
Okay.
How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing great. It was a cold, snowy weekend, right? But it's starting to melt.
Snow is still on the ground in some of the more rural areas. Roads may still have ice on them. Hopefully no snowman injuries.
Snowman, I guess you'd have to walk into his carrot for a nose. But hopefully no snowball injuries, because I know some people had some fun with that. Hopefully you made some snow angels and snowmen. And everybody got to enjoy, I know we had more than two, but I think we usually get 2 inches probably twice a winter. So I hope everybody enjoyed our four seasons here in Middle Tennessee.
Have you ever seen a snowball injury? Does that actually happen?
You know, interestingly, it's temperature dependent.
It would hurt a little bit, you know, stings a little when you get hit with that snowball.
Yeah, you have any idea why I might say that?
Colder it is, the harder the ice would freeze.
No, it's the opposite.
Uh-oh.
When the snow is warm, relatively, say it's about 30, 32 degrees in that range, just like if you're a skier, you know this. Then the snow is wet, heavy. You can make a really hard snowball, and it can almost hit like it's a baseball.
Well, that was this snow. It was wet enough to make a perfect snowman.
That's right. But say when the temperature is below 25 or 20, then the snow is real light and powdery. It's harder to make a dense snowball that you can throw very far, very fast. And the interesting thing about our eye, and it doesn't matter whether the projectile is a snowball or a baseball, which would be about the same size, is that the orbit, the bone around the eye, is larger than that. And the eye is sunken in, depressed further in than that. And that's so you have a protection around your eyeball, just like with a phone cover, you know, you've got a protection around it. So if something hits it or it drops down on its face, it's hitting those rubber gasket on the outside, except we've got bone, muscle, and skin there. Yeah. And so that protects us. But now if that projectile is smaller than the diameter of our orbital rim or ocular socket there, then it doesn't protect it at all and can go right in and smash that soft eyeball that we have. And so the dangerous projectiles are not baseballs so much as maybe racquetballs, squash balls, because those are smaller. And they do recommend, you know, that you wear these protective eyewear. And then it goes by the velocity, the speed with which it hits your eye.
How fast do those balls fly?
Well, you know, it depends who's hitting it. But, you know, when you're playing racquetball and you're swinging, hitting that thing pretty doggone hard, trying to get a corner or flat shot. And the speed now, remember Einstein taught us that energy equals mass times the velocity squared. So the energy going into something is much more dependent upon its speed than its weight.
Yeah.
The things that are more dangerous to eyeballs are smaller things that travel faster. So these are BBs. These are people that go out and play paintball, which is very popular around here. So those kind of things can cause serious damage to the eye. But in any case, if you get hit by something and your eyeball's red or you have decreased vision, boom, you should go right to your eye doctor or to the emergency room.
And I looked up some numbers here for you on the speed of the racquetball. Take a guess on how fast that racquetball flies for amateurs playing.
I'm going to guess, and I have no prior knowledge to this, 70 miles an hour.
It's 80 to 120. That's okay. A lot faster than I would have thought.
Yeah, initially it's very fast off the racket, and then it slows down with time, of course.
And then for the BBs, they go between 250 and 400 feet per second. It's pretty quick.
Right.
I don't know what that would be miles per hour wise, but that sounds fast and painful.
Yeah. Well, how the speed of sound is what, 800 miles an hour?
Yeah, I don't.
Right?
Something like that.
Right? The speed of light. Did you know how fast you could run if you could run the speed of light? And let's say there was some way with land that you could run around the equator.
Okay.
You run around the equator. Guess how far you could run around the equator in 1 second if you could run the speed of light?
I don't know.
It's going to blow your mind.
800 miles?
7 times around the Earth in 1 second.
That's crazy.
That's how fast light is. And so you talk about a light second, that's it. You talk about a light mile, right? So then that's that. You talk about a light hour, a light day, a light week, month. But we talk about light years, don't we?
Yeah.
That's a really, really far away that we can't even comprehend.
You know, when you start talking about time and speed and all that stuff, it's an interesting conversation because there is so much that is unknown by scientists still out there. Like, what if we could go X amount of speed? It is pretty fascinating.
Yeah, well, Einstein tells us that we can't. Like, that's a blockage. So I watched Star Trek over the weekend, which I love, you know, but they, you know, go hit it and they go 4, 5, 6 times the speed of light.
Wow.
And Einstein taught us that when you approach the speed of light, you can't go faster. It's like a barrier. And you can, when you do, you turn into energy. You lose all your mass. You become energy like light is. But anyways, that's for another conversation. If you do get hit by something, no matter how fast it's going, and it turns your eye red, or you have severe pain, or you have lost vision, you should travel as fast as you safely can to your eye doctor or emergency room.
Not at the speed of light, because we want you to actually get there.
Yeah, and the last thing you do is rub your eye.
That's a
tough
one.
Don't do that. You don't rub it, because if you have a cut on your eyeball, which is already soft, you can cause that cut to enlarge, maybe to even open up and have the insides of the eyeball come out. That's called an open globe injury, and is one of the worst things you can have happen.
That's tough, because so often if your eye itches a little bit, it's hard not to reach up there and just, you know, kind of rub it a second.
Any of those kind of things, that's totally different from getting hit with something
and
then rubbing your eye. Any things like that, you want to have some artificial teardrops at home. You know, they're not that much, $15 or less at any drug or grocery store. And what you should do is you should immediately rinse out your eye. And many times, if you got some grass or whatever, you're working in the yard, whatever it is, you can flush that out, or the allergen that you may be allergic to, and that, or a chemical. If you had a chemical splash in your eye, that's the number one treatment. You go to the emergency room, that's what they're going to do. They're going to flush your eye out. Rinse it out. That's the best thing you can do for that. If it's a projectile, then no, you need to see someone right away.
All right, well, here's a question for you. My husband has a new prescription for eyeglasses after having years of headaches, and he's 28.
Mm-hmm.
And this was his first eye doctor that I convinced him to go to. His new prescription is very different than mine and kind of odd. We haven't seen it before. It says we were going to order glasses online, but it says Prism on the prescription. And they're wondering, I guess, before we ordered this online, the actual glasses, I assume they're talking about, to see if it does cure his headaches. What exactly is this Prism?
That's a good question. And only a small proportion of the population needs to have Prism in their glasses. And if you're old like I am, and you were into rock and roll music when you were a teenager, you remember this group called Pink Floyd.
Oh, yeah.
Right? A group from England that were one of the top groups at the time. And they had this album out called Dark Side of the Moon. By the way, as a side note, I'll tell you, it's interesting that we never get to see the other side of the moon, which is the dark side of the moon, because the moon rotates at a speed that once it goes from horizon to horizon, we never get to see it. That's the dark side. We never get to see it. You have to send spacecraft up there to map it, because you can't see it with terrestrial land-based telescopes. Anyways.
But Pink Floyd's album saw it.
And that Pink Floyd album, they had a triangle. You might be able to search it there. They had a triangle where light goes through it, and it scatters into its different colors, right? You learned in school, Roy G. Biv.
Yep.
Right, the different colors. And what that is that glass is acting as a prism, and it's bending or refracting light. And when you are a child, and maybe you have a lazy eye, people have heard of that lazy eye, and that's where one of the eyes is not looking straight ahead like the other one. It's drifted a little bit out or a little bit in, and you always feel awkward talking to these people. You don't know which eye to look at, right? It's the one that's looking at you. That's the answer. So anyways, you can get prism in your glasses, which bends light on that one side. Say it is drifted in, it'll bend the light towards that side. And the person, instead of seeing two of things, because the eyes are looking in different directions, they'll just see one now. So that means you have, either as a child, a lazy eye, which was also called amblyopia, and maybe you had to wear glasses, you know, before the age of six. Maybe you had to have patching and use eye drops. That's another way you know you had the lazy eye. Or maybe as an adult, you had a little mini stroke that affected one of the nerves that innervate the muscles that turn the eye in different directions. The cranial nerves, 3, 4, and 6. So if you had a little stroke that just affected that, your stroke may only be noticeable because now you see double. So the first thing you do, your doctor will do when you see double, is he'll probably get an MRI and he'll send you to an ophthalmologist. And that ophthalmologist will check to see if you do have misalignment of the eyes, and then you can get a prism put in your glasses. And then you wait 6 months, and that amount of correction that you need will stabilize because it changes over time. And if it changes over time to where it doesn't get completely better, then your doctor will refer you to an adult strabismus expert or clinic. And that strabismus is the name of the surgery that reattaches the muscle in a slightly different place from where it was, either a little bit closer or a little bit further away from the front of your eye. And we're just talking about a millimeter or two. And that will realign the eye. So now you do not need a prism in your glasses usually. They're very good at this.
Those prism glasses, they sort of retrain the eye on how to see or which direction to look at. Is that what they're doing? And then you get new prescriptions in 6 months?
Yeah, and a lot of people think that, but it doesn't do that. What the prism does is it bends the light more or less than the glass on the other side of your face, so that it now matches the deviation that eye is turned in or out. And so you see it when you put your glasses on as no more double vision. Or you take them off, you got double vision again, you put them on, it goes away. So they don't fix it, they treat the symptom, not the problem.
They need to remember to get a new prescription possibly in 6 months or so, right? Or do they?
That's right, and they'll go see their doctor. And if they still need that prism in the glasses, the doctor may say, well, you're a candidate, let's send you on. I like to go to the adult strabismus clinic at Vanderbilt. That's where I trained. They're excellent there. Had very good results with my patients that have needed it there. And they will realign the muscles. It's, I don't want to say it's a simple procedure, but it's on the outside of the eye. So it's much safer than inside of the eye surgeries, and often have a very good result.
Man, those eyeglasses could change somebody's life if they've needed that prism type glass for years, not knowing it, not realizing there's help.
Yeah, so you can have strokes. This is another good point. You can have strokes that affect your vision, that don't affect your face, that don't affect how you talk, how you think, the strength of your hands or your arms or your legs. It's only noticeable through your eye. And many, many things are like that. The eye, you know, they say is the windows of the soul, but it can really tell you a lot of things. That's another reason to get a good, dilated, thorough eye exam, not a quickie thing. And a medical eye exam, I call it, where the doctor really looks at everything thoroughly and makes sure that you're good. Because oftentimes they can find things that are affecting other places in your body that you might even know about.
Again, Dr. Craig McCabe in studio with us this morning. And by the way, if anybody would like to know his location of office, it is 122 Heritage Park Drive here in Murfreesboro. And looks like the same person texted back and they said the doctor also recommended what sounded like physical therapy, but for his eyes.
Yeah, I would say that the jury's out on that. Now, when you're a child and you have something called convergence insufficiency, so kids can have this, where their eyes are straight, they see normal straight ahead. But I'll tell you what, I'll give you another question there's no way you know the answer to. But what three things happen when we're reading, when we're looking at something up close rather than in the distance? What changes about our eyes?
Considering I probably wouldn't know it, I'm not sure.
Well, just think about it. What do you think happens?
I mean, you have to adjust what you're reading as far as how close it is, how far it is. So you may have to move that object that you're reading.
But what happens to your eyes? What do they do to try to help you read better? And let's say you're younger than 45.
Well, they may have to adjust three or four times. I'm not real sure.
So I'll tell you what happens is the pupil in your eye gets smaller. That gives you a pinhole effect, it's called. And the smaller your pupil is, the sharper your vision.
Okay.
Light comes straight through the center of the cornea, straight through the pupil. You get very few stray light beams coming into your eye. And that's where your focus is the sharpest. That's why you see better in bright light than you do in dim light. That's why you see better in the daytime than you do at nighttime, with all other things being equal. Because your pupil gets much bigger at nighttime to let more light in.
Yeah.
And you get more what's called aberrations to your vision. But that happens. The pupil gets smaller. The second thing is that inside your eye, the lens, which helps to focus light on your eye, gets more curved on its surface. And that curvature focuses the light onto the retina better. And so it helps to focus at that near distance. And then the third thing, gerund to what we're talking about now, is that's the only time that your eyes completely move in opposite directions. Usually your eyes yoke to the left, to the right, both up, both down. But when you look at something close, your right eye turns in, which means to the left, and your left eye turns in, which means to the right. So they're moving in opposite directions, not in the same direction.
Fascinating.
And that's called convergence. The two are converging on a closer reading material. And so kids typically will notice this that have convergence insufficiency, which means they see in the distance just fine, they focus fine, all this, their pupils get smaller, but their eyes don't turn towards what they're looking at very well. It only goes partially. That's called convergence insufficiency. That's a more common problem than a lazy eye. And a lot of people will notice as teenagers, young teens, and so we'll have them do pencil push-ups. Pencil's not very heavy. But what you do is you look at that two on a number two pencil, and you start out at arm's length, and you bring it closer, 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 where you focus on that. And they'll find that even though they're young, they can't bring it very close before it blurs.
Yeah.
That's because their eyes aren't turning in. When you're young, you can work on your muscles. And so over time, doing that 10 times a day, they will strengthen up those muscles that turn the eye in, and that near point will get closer and closer and closer. And lots of times they can totally get rid of their convergence insufficiency problem. But as adults, you know, even if we go work out when we're 60, we don't get near the muscle mass, the muscle size, the muscle definition that we do if we worked out when we were 20.
Yeah.
That's the same way with your eye muscles. So these exercises have been shown not to really work that well when you're older. When you're younger, yes. At least that's what most of the literature is.
Well, when I read that, I thought to myself, man, that sounds like it would cause headaches to go through some type of eye physical therapy where you're constantly moving, adjusting, you know. I don't think I could handle that over a 30-minute period or however long it may be.
Yeah, and you do. You bring it, at least on convergence insufficiency exercise, you bring it to where it just doubles and you hold it there and you wait and you focus and you focus. So you're really working those muscles.
Yeah.
And you do that. And as a young teenager, you can build up those muscles. When you're older, you don't get near the benefit that you do when you're younger. And so you need a prism in your glasses. And the way to fix that is you wait till it stabilizes. You go see a strabismus specialist, and they do a realignment procedure, moving the muscle on the outside of the eye. And if that muscle on that side was too weak, they strengthen it. If it was too strong, they may weaken it or strengthen the one on the other side. But anyways, they realign the eyes and you do much better. And this commonly happens in adults when they have little strokes.
Here is another question for you. It says, my mother complains of seeing dark or black spots when she sees things, almost like black circles. I told her it is probably a cataract, although I don't notice any discoloration in her eye. Is this possible? And how do I convince her to go to the doctor? And what happens if she doesn't?
Well, if she doesn't, it'll never get fixed. It'll never get better. But typically, cataracts don't give you those kind of symptoms if you Google them or look them up. Typically, your vision will be dimmer, darker at night, but it's not that you see dark spots during the day. The typical symptoms, like we've talked about here, is you have more glare and halos at night from oncoming car headlights or when you look at any bright light at night. Those cataracts add aberrations to your vision, like we talked about with larger pupil. So when you dilate at night, as you would normally, your pupil, you've got those aberrations plus the ones of the cataract, and they really affect your vision. And I'll tell people, do they have any problems driving at night? And I'll ask them that question when I know they got cataracts. And they'll say, no, I don't have any problems. I'll say, well, when's the last time you went out and driving at night? I'm not comfortable doing that. Yeah. I haven't been driving at night in a long time. I try to avoid it. It's not because they've gotten older, but people say, but, you know, I'm older. It's like everybody blames things on being older. And older is an age, but it's not a disease. There's a disease that causes these problems as we get older. So if you treat the disease, you get better, even though you continue to get older. So what you need to do is find someone that can treat the problem and have it treated, regardless of what it is, and not just say, well, you know, I'm older now.
Yeah.
That's an excuse. That's not a reason. And once you know the answer, then you can usually treat it. So cataracts will give you that, glare and halos at night. They'll make it harder to read small print near or far, like the menu screen on the TV. Maybe a pill bottle, you know, those kind of things. They get more difficult. You know your vision's not as good. And you'll rearrange your life. So people will stop driving at night. They'll try to get everything done during the day. They'll stop reading small things. They'll just hand it to somebody and say, hey, what's that say?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they're adjusting their life rather than treating it and improving it. And if you start to notice those things, you should go get an eye exam. So you should just go get an eye exam. If it's been 2 years or more, you should just get one.
Yeah, stop living that way and go to the eye doctor.
Well, treat it, do better, have your life be better.
That sounds good. Dr. Craig McCabe in studio with us this morning. If you have any questions, text them to 615-893-1450. We'll get them answered for you. Dr. Craig McCabe again in studio, local eye doctor here in Murfreesboro. We'll be right back.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. The salmon is my favorite, and then we have a variation that's on a regular menu for the salmon imperial that has some Alfredo, some crab, some shrimp on it. But the salmon is fresh, and we cut it fresh. But all of our fish, you can either get blackened, or you can get it with our regular seasoned salt. And either way you do it, it's just out of this world. And I'm not a fish person, but I will eat it at Demas's all the time. Come eat with us at Demas's restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
You feel great at Adam's Place.
Melanie teaches all of our exercise classes. I do the stretch and balance.
Alan Butcher.
Avis is our water aerobics instructor. It's really helped me to overcome some of my arthritis pain, and it's just a wonderful thing that we have here.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adam's Place. Call me for more information about Adam's Place. Phone 615-904-9111.
Adam's Place on Memorial, across from Walmart.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. The friends you've made while banking right here over the years are still here, and so are those delicious, warm, homemade cookies. Everything you enjoyed about Capstar is still at Old National Bank.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Come on over and enjoy warm cookies with friends while doing your banking at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Well, Dr. McCabe is right here in studio with us this morning, and we have some more questions for him. His website, McCabeVisionCenter.com. Next question, it says, I think you may have talked about this before, but are there any foods we can add to our diet to ensure better eye wear and tear, and any supplements to improve our vision?
That's a good question. I like that question. So let's say you have healthy eyes, you want to keep them that way. And you have a family history of some eye diseases like macular degeneration. Let's say you have healthy eyes, but you have a dry eye problem. Let's say you used to have healthy eyes, and now you're starting to develop macular degeneration. So there's vitamins for all these things along the way. And the eye doctor that you see or you go to should be able to tell you this. Basically, you want to take a multiple vitamin for many different reasons besides just your eyes. And take the one that's appropriate for you. So if you're over 50, take the 50 plus, men or women. There's many of them there out on the market, but as long as it's a complete vitamin, you know, like a once a day, you will do well for most things. And sometimes they can affect, maybe if you're on Coumadin or certain blood thinners. So you always want to report when you go see your doctor those over-the-counter medicines that you take, not just the prescription ones, because they can affect you, of course. That's why you take them. And they can affect the other medicines you take. So you just want to make sure you're not doing anything detrimental. And sometimes you can when you're taking something that seems, you know, innocuous that anyone can take that doesn't require a prescription. But anyways, that's the one for most common things. Everybody should take that. Nobody, well, I know I don't have a perfect diet. And that helps you with that, get the nutrients that you need. You know, during an illness or something, I'm also a proponent of taking extra vitamin C. Mm-hmm. So I think those are good things. Now, let's say that you have an eye disease. Maybe it's glaucoma. Maybe it's diabetes. Maybe it's macular degeneration. There are vitamins out for those specific problems, and you should be on one of those. And once again, you're eye care doctor should be able to direct you in the right direction to obtain those. Now, some of these are high dose. Like if it's macular degeneration, they're mega doses of these vitamins. And if you have a tender tummy, it may not tolerate it. So you always want to, like these kind of people need to do on all medicines, is titrate up. So it may be one that's four capsules a day, two in the morning, two at night. You probably want to start with one in the morning, one at night, and then the next week move up two in the morning, one at night, and then the next week, if you can tolerate that, the regular dose of two and two. But if you do that, you're more likely to have a successful result. And the specific one that you need to be on, your eye doctor can direct you to that. Because you may have multiple things, your macular degeneration and glaucoma, or diabetes and glaucoma, or whatever, and they can help you make that. But there are things available that do help and have been shown to help.
I know a few years ago, a lot of doctor offices started saying, you know, hey, we also do the B12 injection here if you are low on B12. Is B12 something that would help overall and possibly help those eyes as well?
You know, I think of B12 as one of those vitamins that you need if you're low in energy and your doctor has done the blood work and it shows you have a low B12 level. You may have a low vitamin D because we spend more time inside now than we do outside, yeah. And all of us do in the winter as well. So get it measured, start taking the correct supplement, and then 2 months later, get it remeasured. If you're still low, you need to take more. Get it remeasured. If that's too low, you may have another problem. Like B12 could have a problem with your gut,
yeah.
And absorption. And you need certain cofactors, just like vitamin D needs calcium to be absorbed. So you often see those two in combination. Make sure you're on the right vitamin and make sure you're on the right dose. And again, your doctor has to measure your lab work to make sure that that's working out for you.
Here's another one. My husband really, if you notice, these are all husband questions. This one says, my husband really wants to get corrective eye surgery. He's 52, but would this mean he would not have to wear glasses anymore? And would he need future surgeries after he gets 60 or 65?
So this is one of the things we specialize in, is having surgery that helps get you out of glasses, especially when you're older. So the full range multifocal lens implants with astigmatism correction, I think most people would agree the best way to go about that these days. And so assuming you're a good candidate, which means you don't have significant macular degeneration or glaucoma or diabetes or other problems with your eyes, you have a relatively normal, healthy eye, then you're a good candidate for these things and you should get a good result out of it. So that, again, is a talk you have to have with your doctor. Now, one of the things you need to know is not all ophthalmologists do these full-range vision lenses. And it's kind of like if all you have in your toolbox is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So you need to go to one that has a big toolbox that can do multiple things. And it's hard to know, but you want to ask that question. Do you do a lot of these multifocal lenses? You know, do your due diligence. And find out, see what kind of results they have. Talk to the other people in the lobby. If you see a bunch of older people reading without glasses, they're probably pretty good.
So with these surgeries, let's say you have that surgery at age 52, and then down the road when you hit 70, do you have to have that corrected in some way, or is that permanent forever?
Another very good question. The answer is it depends, because now we're talking about 10, 15, 20 years in the future. Now, I'll tell you in my experience, and I tell my patients, that if they had a significant amount of astigmatism, and I did an astigmatism correction, because that has to be done if you want to see well after cataract surgery, then once you correct that, that about 40% of my patients will have a significant amount a regress or come back in 4 to 6 years. And then I have to do a little touch up in the office. Not a big deal. You can drive yourself. And that will correct it for another many years. And so little adjustments have to be made. The other thing is to see well, you have to have a good tear film. You can't have a significant dry eye problem. So that's got to be treated. I published a paper over 15 years ago that showed that if you don't correct the tear film before you do the measurements for cataract surgery, you've got a good chance of that lens being put in your eye being the wrong power, where you do need glasses afterwards. So correcting that dry eye problem, we talk about that a lot on the show. A lot of people have it, especially in wintertime with the dry heat and the forced air on your face. Correct the dry eye problem. You'll see better. You'll function better. Your eyes will be whiter, less red, and you'll have a better result with your cataract surgery. So make sure that your doctor's taking care of that before you have the measurements for your cataract surgery.
You know, I've been amazed while doing this show how many problems are related to something as simple as a dry eye.
Yeah, when I was at residency at Vanderbilt, and I was being taught by the chairman of the department then, you know, and this is back when dinosaurs roamed the earth, but it was a patient with a dry eye problem, which there was plenty back then, not as many as now, but plenty back then, is they'd hand them a sample of whatever drug rep left a sample of artificial tears, and they'd say, here, use this. If it helps more, you can get more at the drugstore. That was it.
Yeah.
That was it. And now we have volumes of texts. We have very expensive machinery to measure these things and to treat these things. And we know a lot more about it. And now the treatment of dry eye, because everybody wants to try to see well without glasses, which helps you perform better, makes your life easier, more comfortable. We've realized that that's very important. And in fact, 70% of the focusing power of the eye is from that air tear film interface on the front of your eye. The lens in your eye is responsible for the remaining 30. So you can see, if you have a bad tear film, a bad air tear film interface, you're not going to see well, even if the rest of your eyes are perfectly healthy. And you've got the, you know, even if you had perfect cataract surgery, you develop a dry eye problem, you're not going to see as well.
Interesting. Last question here. It says, how do you know if a toddler needs glasses? My 3-year-old is always squinting, but never seems to be bothered by it. So what could this be? Could it be that he needs glasses?
Yes, it absolutely could be if he can't see well unless he squints. Now, that's assume you're in a comfortable lighting situation. It's not real bright. If he squints even with sunglasses on, that's absolutely. If you have a family history of eye disease, if you have a family history of childhood eye disease, oh my gosh, yes, absolutely, you should get your child checked. And they're best checked by a pediatric ophthalmologist, someone who specializes in that.
How do you find that?
They're around. You just Google it, look it up. And all these doctors that do strabismus surgeries are pediatric ophthalmologists.
Okay.
Even if they do them on adults that have had a stroke and now need a strabismus surgery, they're always a pediatric ophthalmologist. So absolutely. And the studies show if you don't get that corrected at an early age, that may result in your child having bad vision in one or both eyes for the rest of their life. That cannot be corrected after the age of 7. So even if a kid, everything's fine or whatever, get an exam early on. With childhood eye disease, get several exams early on if that runs in your family. And yeah, you know what? It's a morning or an afternoon, one day of one, you know, out of the year. And it's one of the best investments you can make.
So highly important.
Absolutely, especially if it runs in your family. But if you notice something unusual, kids are so tolerant. They don't complain of things like we as adults complain about every little thing. You know, get it checked out. It's always worth it. Even if everything's fine, you know, you paid your copay, that's like some of the best money you can spend for peace of mind and future health.
And again, with us this morning, Dr. Craig McCabe from McCabe Vision Center, and his address, 122 Heritage Park Drive in Murfreesboro. That's near at the intersection of Memorial and Heritage Park. I mean, you're right there almost. Right?
Yeah, there's a KFC there. You know, the 24-hour Walgreens is Northfield and Memorial, so it's one light up from that. But if you have cataracts, if you want to see well without glasses, if you're having any issues that need to be treated, we would love to help you out. Come see us.
Sounds great. Again, McCabeVisionCenter.com. And again, Craig McCabe, local eye doctor. Thanks again.
Have a great day, everybody.
You've been listening to Dr. Craig McCabe with McCabe Vision Center. McCabe Vision Center is in Murfreesboro at 122 Heritage Park Drive. Their phone number, 615-904-9024. Or find McCabe Vision Center online at McCabeVisionCenter.com. WGNS Murfreesboro, since 1947.